T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Happy, what is this? It's Friday Eve already? Wow, this week has flown by.
Says the guy who hasn't been here in a week. Come back this, one day.
Man, this week has absolutely flown by. I like these kind of quick weeks. A lot of good stuff coming for you on the show today. We're going to get the best bets of the week from Colin Wilson of the Action Sports Network. Tim Frisbee, South Carolina Gamecock of South Carolina Gamecock lore, in advance of Florida Week, is set to be joining us at 3:20 this afternoon. We look forward to be joined by him. And always good topics, always a ton of fun between now and 4 p.m. right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan. Also, at 1:50 today, some very, very exciting show news to share with you. That I don't think even Lonzo knows yet, that we will share with you coming up at 1:50 this afternoon. Do want to open, though, with this. I've got in my hands here some outstanding news for South Carolina Gamecocks fans. You see, Will Muschamp earned a signature win, his first signature win, as head coach of the Gamecocks, to which Lonzo says, screw you, Will Muschamp. Screw you, Will Pelagic. I am apologizing to nobody. I am speaking for Lonzo right now, which I love to do. And in year four, he earned his first signature win, and that is a big deal. He broke a streak of 11 consecutive losses to top 25 teams. And I was thinking back in my career, you know, what were the signature moments in my career? And certainly you could say when I got the call to host Afternoon Drive in Tampa, Florida with Booger McFarland, who at that particular time had signed on with the SEC network, but had not yet, you know, been the voice of Monday Night Football that he is today. But still, it was a huge deal for me at that particular time. That was a signature moment for me. But I also look back to the break as a bigger signature moment, to a previous break. And my former station in Atlanta, 92.9 The Game, a station that Will Pelagic is filling in on right now in Atlanta, Georgia, formerly CBS's 92.9 The Game, now Entercom's 92.9 The Game. I was hosting at that particular time. I had just moved to Atlanta because I was hosting in Pensacola, Florida, and I had the realization that nobody was going to discover me in Pensacola, Florida, that I would never be found, that I felt like I was a good host. I felt like I could do good things, but I had a job that wasn't paying squat, and I realized no one was going to find me there, so I took a chance, and I bought my own show at an AM station that nobody listened to in Atlanta, Georgia. Right? But just so I could get to Atlanta, I bought my own show on an AM station nobody was listening to. 4 months after I got there, 92.9 The Game was born, and I borderline harassed the program director until he gave me a meeting. And then he ended up liking what he heard of my stuff, gave me a job just because I was already there part-time. You guys won't believe this station. There were 40 sports radio show hosts at this station. How many at our station? We have 3 or 4, right? At this station in Atlanta, when it started, there were 40 sports radio show hosts. It was 24/7 local, meaning even at 3 a.m., they were doing a live local show on that particular station. 12 of the hosts were full time. And fortunately, within a couple months of starting, I had worked my way out of the 40 hosts, the 28 part time hosts, I had worked my way into being the top part-time host there. So they would call me every time. They would call me first every time somebody was out sick or going on vacation or something happened. and I hosted every single time slot on that station. It's funny because to me, I look at that more as my big break than I do the call up to host with Booger McFarland, but in Tampa. But it's interesting when you look at signature wins and signature moments in your career. Lonzo, does something strike you as a signature moment for you in your career?
Well, I know you're looking down on me like I don't really have a career, you know, and I don't appreciate that and everything. But, you know, here's the thing. We moved here from Ohio, and I didn't have a job. I just went to recording school. My wife was going to Account Temps to get a job, and so she asked me to go with her. She'd never been nervous before, which really shocked me. I'm like, okay, I'll go with you. And down the hallway, there was a radio station. And it's called 98.1 The Peak, which no longer exists. They got flipped. As we know how much fun that is, which was the only other radio station I've ever worked at before I came here. But I went in, and the guy who's
By the way, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I'm so sorry to interrupt you. Wait till you hear our good news at 1:50 today. You're going to be real happy.
Okay. So the guy who is the operations manager is a guy named Lee Rogers, who is now over the news department at WORD. He looked at my resume, and he said, I tell you what, you listen to this station and decide if you want to work here, because I'm not so sure you want to work here. And because most of my stuff was church related and everything on my resume, and I just needed a job. So I came back the next week, started there. And when that went away, I came here, and I've been here ever since. But if I didn't go with my wife to Account Temps, I never would have saw it. I just happened to have a resume with me. Just
did you have an interest
in
radio? Were you always interested in radio?
We covered radio for a half hour one day in recording school.
Wow.
And they showed you how to put a commercial together. But even in that little bit, they didn't have anyone to do production at that radio station the way I did. We were just moving into digital, and they just bought a new digital recorder, and I could figure it out, and nobody else could. So
there you go.
So my hours just kept going up and up and up. And as is in radio, you start late, and you move to the morning, which is what I did, which is weird. Radio is so opposite. The goal is to move to the morning. Or at least to move to drive time. And I was able to do that. And like I said, then I was able to come over here and do everything that I've been able to do here.
Love the story. Fantastic news here for South Carolina. In year four, okay, Will Muschamp earned his first signature win. Actually, if we're being honest, the win took place 40% of the way through year four. So in year 3.4, Will Muschamp earned his first signature win against Georgia. I am defining a signature win as a win over a top 10 team, okay? A win over a top 10 team for a new coach, that counts to me as a signature win. So here's what I've done, and here's why South Carolina fans should feel outstanding. I've looked at the five active coaches who have won national championships this year. And I went back and I looked at what was their first signature win, and when did that signature win take place? How long did it take to, did it take them to get there? Okay, Jimbo Fisher in year three, sorry Clemson Tigers fans, was 12-2 and got a win over number 10 Clemson. Was also the Orange Bowl victor and the ACC champion. Nick Saban, current national champion. In year two at Alabama, beat number 9 Clemson and number 3 Georgia. Two signature wins in year two at Alabama for Nick Saban. But Mark Ryan, some of these schools have much greater history than South Carolina. Trust me, I'm factoring that in as well. Les Miles at LSU, year one, got a signature win beating number 8 Tennessee and a near signature win beating number 11 Notre Dame in the Sugar Bowl. Mac Brown, Kansas, national championship current head coach, did not get a signature win at Texas until year 8 there. Beat number 4 Ohio State, number 10 Texas Tech, and number 1 USC in the national championship game that year with Vince Young, but it was year 8. And how about Dabo Swinney, current national champion, did not earn a signature win until year 4, when he beat number 8 LSU by a point in the Chick-fil-A Bowl. So if you're wondering if Will Muschamp is the guy, and Lonzo and I have wondered this aloud for quite some time now, right? For quite some time. I think a great thing to look at is how long it took you know, current national championship coaches to have their breakthrough moment. And folks, here's what surprised me. Not only is Will Muschamp on pace, Will Muschamp is ahead of pace, ladies and gentlemen. The average of these five present head coaches in terms of when they won, their when they got their first signature win, 3.6 years. Year 3.6, after three seasons, 6/10 into the next one. Will Muschamp got his first signature win in 3.4. I look at this outside looking in, and, you know, it's real easy to get caught inside the bubble of impatience, right? It's very easy to get stuck inside that bubble when you live here. But maybe, just maybe, Lonzo, is Will Muschamp not exactly where he needs to be when he's supposed to be doing it at South Carolina? Is it possible that he's right where he should be? Let's not forget Dabo Swinney, first 3 years at Clemson, 545 winning percentage. What is Will Muschamp's winning percentage at South Carolina? 556, starting towards the beginning of year four. Might Will Muschamp be exactly where he's supposed to be?
I mean, we could speculate on that, but I just don't think so. No. And one thing that Dabo did that Will is not doing is Dabo found some excellent coordinators, some assistant coaches that are – so all he has to do is manage it, and Will Muschamp hasn't found that on defense, and he hasn't found that on offense. And without that, I'm sorry, I hate being the negative guy, but I guess I am. I just don't believe he is where he's supposed to be. I think he needs to be a defensive coordinator somewhere else and not the head coach of the Gamecocks.
It takes a long time to break through that ceiling. Hillary Clinton is still trying to break through that glass ceiling. Okay. And it takes a long time to do so. And Will Muschamp, you know, it seems like it's
been
forever.
Don't you think he's had enough time, though? I mean, he has been there for quite some time. And
Lonzo, your tune is going to change big time if they beat Florida. Your tune is going to change big time. This team has never beaten back-to-back top 10
opponents. You are absolutely right. My tune will change. And that's the thing. I am not stuck on this state of mind that my mind cannot be changed. If they beat Florida, if they play defense the way they did against Georgia the rest of the year, I will come on these airwaves and I will apologize to Will Muschamp. I will never apologize to Will Pelagic, though.
You'll never apologize to Will Pelagic. Does any of this make you feel differently about the job Will Muschamp is doing at South Carolina? Look, I have predicted he's going to be fired at the end of the 2020 season. Like Lonzo, I am not willing to back off my prediction after one game. But when you look at the signature moments, the first signature moments for the current national championship head coaches and how long it took them at the institutions in which they won a national championship, Will Muschamp is not only right there, he's a tad ahead of schedule. Absolutely, positively amazing to consider. 1-844-477-3776, 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number. The text line is there for you at 71307. Start your text with the word ESPN and away you go. Twitter, where our policy is, if you're following us, we will get to your tweets live and on the air at ESPN Upstate, at Lonzo on Word, at Mark Ryan on Air. And you can email the show, markryan at espnupstate.com. Something very, very eerie took place in Charlotte a couple of mornings ago. We'll share all the deets with you. That's what the kids say, right, Lonzo? Deets? We'll share all the deets with you.
How do I know? I'm a grandpa, man. I don't have a clue.
We'll share the deets with you next, right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
So I got to tell you this. Yesterday morning, there was a really eerie thing as the sun was coming up that happened right up the road from us. At the NASCAR Hall of Fame. I don't know if you heard about it, but it was, this is the kind of stuff, man, like if I saw this happen live, I'm piecing the hell out of Dodge, like probably forever. Like I would be convinced that I was living a nightmare if this in fact happened to me. Okay. I don't know if I could deal with it very well. All right. And, so outside of the NASCAR Hall of Fame, all right, it's like 6 a.m. The sun is coming up, and like a scene straight out of The Walking Dead or Game of Thrones or insert your favorite creepy show here. Here is what was taking place as presented on the local Fox station.
That's a lot of birds. Yeah, don't let them hit you. There's something wrong with them.
Yeah.
But it's a whole flock.
Yeah.
That's odd.
It's been going on for the last hour.
Oh, they've been out here for an hour doing it.
Yeah.
Oh my God, look at them all. Look, they're... I was like, you were inside, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you heard? You heard a bunch of... Look. No, this is like something of a movie. Are you... This is crazy.
Yeah, I feel like this is like the end of the world right now.
Right, like this is where it starts. This is where it starts. This is not okay.
So what was happening is the birds weren't just flying into like clear glass. The birds were flying purposefully into the wall. You know how like salmon like give themselves up when it's time to spawn and their bodies kind of rot from the inside out? Like this was some kind of mass suicide cult-like, and it took place at the NASCAR Hall of Fame in Charlotte yesterday. Now, I know NASCAR has been having problems, Lonzo. But this might be the biggest curse to that sport I've ever seen. These birds are flying purposefully into brick walls outside of the NASCAR Hall of Fame. What in the name of Big Bird is going on over here?
There's an obvious answer here. These birds obviously have seen the cars going round and round and round and round to the point that they've went out of their head and decided to commit suicide because they don't understand why they go round and round and round and people watch it.
I think the birds were making a protest against NASCAR.
Maybe.
If I'm honest with you.
It's a possibility.
I think there was a protest against NASCAR absolutely positively going on there. But needless to say, Lonzo, if I was there, I would have flipped the bleep out.
What would you do if right now, I mean, we have windows all over the side of this building, and I've seen birds hit the glass before. So what if a ton of birds just start hitting the glass? What would you do? Would you stay on the air and report it?
Here's what's different about this.
Because you have to go outside to leave.
These birds were flying into brick walls. There was no glass.
I get it.
You know what I'm saying? And birds can see what the other birds are doing. Oh, I'm not doing that. I'm not making that move. Right? So the birds themselves were committing suicide in mass right outside the NASCAR Hall of Fame yesterday and then falling to their death. I've never seen anything like that. Lonzo, if I had been there, I would have been running, okay? I would have been screaming. I would have been not in a great place. I got to be honest with you. But I do think it's cute that you think they committed suicide because they had to watch the NASCAR races. I do think that's adorable, Lonzo. I really do. What do you make?
This is a more appropriate song to be playing while we're talking about. I'm just saying, you know.
Okay. I can roll with this. I've never seen anything like this, man.
My question to you is, if this happens outside right now, if all these birds come crashing into this building, what would you do? Because you said you would run, but you'd have to go outside into it to get to your car. I think the safest place to be would be inside the building.
I would take it as a sign that it's time to hang it up with NASCAR, and I would take it as a sign that it's time to hang up the headphones for the last time.
Think about it. If you worked at NASCAR,
that's some Alfred Hitchcock bleep.
Yeah, man. It is. If you worked at NASCAR and you had to leave, what would you do? I mean, when all these birds keep, I mean, you have to go outside to leave.
I would be so tripped out about this, man. What are there, like Walking Dead zombie birds flying around? Like, what happened to these damn birds?
It's a possibility. A lot of these movies where the animals take over or the animals go crazy, they always start with the birds. They always do.
They certainly do. Let's get right to it. And Harold is up first here on the show. Harold, thanks so much for the call. You are on the dreaded line, too, that birds have flown into, Harold. Alonzo has you punched up, though. Go ahead, Harold. What's up?
Let me stop laughing here a second, okay? Because I think, listen, I'm on Alonzo's side about this.
You are.
Even the birds can't take it no more. Watch your cars go round and round.
I've always said, like, why am I not interested in NASCAR? And I mean no offense by this, but we have NASCAR guests on. They identify our market as a place where they can gain following. But I went to college. I have a college degree. If I was interested in NASCAR, I feel like I would be interested in a gerbil going around and around in a wheel. And I'm always looking for more reasons to be interested in it, and I haven't found any. You know, I need more than that to be entertained, Harold.
Yeah. Well, I might go waste my time on NASCAR, so that's enough for me about NASCAR.
There you go.
I just want to give Lonzo some kudos about his comment about the defense if they keep playing. And one reason, they've gone to a 4-3, and I'm going to give the defensive staff down there a little credit for that, and they're going man-to-man. And I'm also going back to when I told you that I wanted to give Muschamp. I didn't want to see Muschamp go. You know, give him a chance. And I think you told me, hanging up, if everybody had the patience of Harold, the world would be a lot better place. I don't know if you remember that or not.
Yes.
But anyway, those stats you brought out about the corner.
Yeah.
That just infuses me more about my.
I wish it would infuse Lonzo. Lonzo's being stubborn, and he's digging his heels in.
Lonzo, I love Lonzo. I mean, y'all compliment one another. That's what makes y'all show great.
What's ironic is we actually never compliment one another. But if we compliment L-E-M as opposed to L-I-M, yeah. I suppose I can deal with that, Harold. It depends on the complimenting to which you're referencing.
Yeah, the compliment is pros and cons.
Yeah.
Pros and cons. You know, he might go pro, you be con. He might go con, you'll be pro. You know, that's what I meant by, you know, you have, let's put it like this, you're opposites, and opposites attract, right? You know,
please never use the word attract between me and Lonzo ever again.
Okay?
There's no attraction here. Okay?
But anyway, just, you know, they continue that. Now, here's some good news for you. There's supposed to be a tropic rainstorm coming in Saturday. You know that.
I did not.
Well, we're going to get it.
Are we? Lonzo, are you aware of this? What's been wrong with me? Are you aware of this tropical storm coming here?
I'm aware that we're getting rain, yes.
Yeah, rain. Well, it's coming from a tropic front. It's going to be moving up through the southeast. Supposed to, you know, we've been under drought, and this is supposed to really help the drought conditions all over the southeast coming up through here, you know. So that's going to be, it's going to be a rainy game. And something else I want to bring up. Everybody's forgetting about Missouri in the southeast.
Yes.
Have they lost a game yet?
No.
Well, hey, somebody, they're going to beat some people. They're going to beat some people. Can they go to the SEC championship game?
Right now, the answer to that question is no. They have an appeal. They have an appeal in for their postseason, but the SEC championship game is considered a postseason game. And I don't know. You know, I think probably three quarters of the time the NCAA declines the appeals. But you're right. They have the biggest, and Harold, thanks for the phone call. They Missouri has the biggest joke of an SEC schedule that is possible. Here's why. Guess who they play from the West? You know how each team plays two teams from the other division? They get Arkansas and Ole Miss from the West. Really. I mean, pick any other teams, and you have a respectable schedule. They also get Florida at home this year, where they normally beat the Gators. And they get Georgia on the road. So if you assume two losses for Missouri, the worst case scenario for them is 6-2. They've already beaten South Carolina before the Gamecocks found their identity, right? So, yeah, let's hope that appeal does not hold up. And because the Missouri Tigers are not a legitimate champion, whether they win or lose the appeal, that schedule's a joke, man. And they lost to Wyoming. Can you imagine how embarrassing it would be to have a champion in the SEC that lost to Wyoming?
Here's a question, though. If they go undefeated in the SEC, will they go the UCF route and make their own SEC championship trophy and rings and all that kind of stuff?
Lonzo, dear God, I hope that never happens. I hope we don't see that day. You know, Missouri kind of feels like the redheaded stepsister. Like they feel like they're not in the conference, but they're in the conference. Oh, yeah, that's right, Missouri. That weird team that somehow shows up on our standings page. They don't feel like they're in the SEC. They've never felt like a natural fit in the SEC. Oh, no, I'm realizing that we have a host on this station now filling in for Straight Up with Sturge. Will Polonjic here, graduated from the very prestigious University of Missouri, matriculated, and it was a very, very positive experience in my life. Will, you don't feel like you're in the SEC.
Really bad right now because I would have slammed Missouri a whole lot harder if I would have remembered that Will graduated from there.
There you go. Let's get to Delvin, who's up next on the show. Delvin, thanks for the call. You're offsides. Delvin, go ahead.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Great, bud.
Yeah, you're talking about signature wins. I agree with you, this signature wins, but I'm kind of with Lonzo. I'm waiting to see how this Florida game goes because, you know, if he gets going against Florida, I mean, it can take off for Will Muschamp. You talk about him being gone, now he can take off on 2 signature wins in a row. Unbelievable.
2 top 10 wins consecutively, potentially, for Will Muschamp. For the first time ever for South Carolina, it has never happened. Do you think it's going to happen, Delvin?
I think they got momentum. I think it could happen. I think it can happen. I think they got the momentum right now coming off that win.
You got it. Delvin, oh, as always, greatly appreciate the phone call, man. Delvin chiming in. As is always the case here on the show, we've got multiple topics going simultaneously. Here on the program today, and void adjudication, and great to be here with you. Lonzo, you know, you crack me for that impression of Will Polonjic, but you laugh at it every single time I do it.
More and more. You know, what I love about the show, we're transparent. You would almost say we're translucent.
Oh, you would. You know, translucent is not transparent. Translucent is kind of like when it's hazy. Hazy kind of see-through.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks for the clarification.
That's kind of that. But Will Polonjic dropped a translucent on us yesterday in between shows. And everyone was trying to figure out what that meant.
I was out to eat at Olive Garden, and I noticed a piece of onion on my plate after the salad. And so I sent Will a picture to ask him if it was translucent or not.
Will makes a Ukrainian sauerkraut.
It sounds good. It really does sound good.
But you have to have the translucent onions in order to make those successfully. If they're not translucent, if they're transparent, it's no good. All right? So Will Polonjic now texting into the show, y'all is some sauce buckets. And
What does that mean? That's 2 days in a row. I don't know what that means. Is this like a gutter speak that I don't get? Or is it Italian? Does it have to do with spaghetti sauce?
Make sure the sauce buckets are sautéed.
What the heck is
ideally
a sauce bucket?
I have no idea what that means. Okay, coming up next, I, believe it or not, have an issue with Dabo Swinney. And I'll share with you what that is when Offsides continues. Plus, great show news to share with you at 1:55 here on Offsides, ESPN Upstate.
We We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I heard you two jabronis talking about me and during the break, and all I'm going to say is you two wouldn't know culinary expertise if it was shoved right up your bung. God, this is what a disgrace to radio programs everywhere. My name is Will Pelagic, and I approve this message.
You gotta hurt yourself. You know that. You realize that. Because you're in pain every time you do that impersonation. It's worth it, though, and it is growing on me.
This is very uncouth in the radio station today, and you unculinary bastards, each and every one of you. Okay, I do want to share this with you. We've got some great and exciting show news to share with the listening audience in the radio program at 1:55 today. Okay, so we're looking forward to sharing some exciting show news.
Are you going to keep putting this off and we're never going to know what it is?
I've told you all hour that I will share it with you at 1:55.
I'm pretty sure you said 1:50 at the
beginning. Lonzo, you know what you need?
I'm going to leave the room.
Get a little patience, yeah. That's what you need, Lonzo. That's all you need, okay? All you need is a little patience and you will be doing well. All right. Did you see this? So Clemson has a new starting kicker. His name is Steven Sawicki. And he was asked at Clemson practice this week how far he feels comfortable kicking from. And he said about 50 yards. And Dabo was asked if he agrees. And per Matt Connolly of the state newspaper started laughing and said, probably not. Probably not. Not very comfortable with that in any way, shape, or form. You never want to hear that from your head coach. But at least Dabo had a chuckle with it. At least, hopefully, he appreciates his kicker's confidence. A kicker that has confidence that will never be found again by one B.T. Harry Potter. B.T. Potter. The former starting kicker of the Clemson Tigers, and I was at the game on Saturday. I was at the game sitting with my beautiful girlfriend, and we happened to see B.T. Potter shank the chip shot field goal that was from within 30 yards. And we happened to see firsthand, and even hear to a degree, Dabo Swinney going to town on one B.T. Don't Call Me Harry Potter. All right. Now, here's what this sounded like on the national TV broadcast on ABC.
Look at Clemson. Hey, yeah. Dabo's had a rough week. Dabo doesn't have too many bad weeks. Dabo's had a rough week, and even up 28-0. He's going to let people hear about it.
He's trying to get the entire team ready. He knows what's down the road. Right. He knows what this team is capable of, and you can't get where you want to go without a kicker, a reliable kicker. And right now, he's not sold on B.T. Potter.
No, he's not sold on B.T. Potter, and he publicly reamed B.T. Potter, and he found B.T. Potter on the sideline, and he reamed him some more, and then he was hunting him down, walking up and down the sidelines because he had more to say to B.T. Potter. Here's the thing. I have a problem with the way Dabo Swinney acted here. I believe not only was that unprofessional, but I feel like that's harmful to the kid. Here's why. B.T. Potter didn't make a mistake for lack of focus and attention. Okay? He made a mistake either because mistakes happen or because he's not a skilled enough kicker. Okay? Lonzo, if I'm the program director of this radio station and we've got fill-in hosts hosting, I'm not going to yell at the hosts if they're not good enough. Okay, even if they've practiced, I'm not going to yell at them if they're not good enough. You know who I'm going to yell at? I'm going to yell at a talented host who's dogging it. okay, who's dogging it. I don't think BT Potter wanted to miss the kick. I don't think this is the same thing as an idiot offensive lineman false starting three consecutive times in a row or a defensive lineman holding three times in a row because their brain isn't in it. They don't have their focus. Their head isn't in the game, so on and so forth. BT Potter missed a kick. You know, it was, as far as we know, he's trying as hard as he can to make said kick. Now, I'm not at practice. I don't know what happens at practice. I don't know if BT Potter's effort at practice was elite, was it 10 level. I can't tell you that, but you know me, Lonzo. I'm a guy who doesn't even believe kickers should be in existence on the football field.
Same here. See, kickers are on the field for two things. One, to make field goals or extra points, and to be yelled at. That's what they're there for. They're isolated for a reason. There's a reason why they don't practice with everybody else. They should have thicker skin. They're there for the coach to yell at. The coach wants to yell at the entire team, so he yells at the non-football player on the team to get his message across to the rest of the team. It's kind of like when management sends an email to everybody when they know good and well who just screwed up, but they send it to everybody. It's the same sort of thing.
I don't like that. I think that's a really bad look for Dabo Swinney, if I'm honest with you. Okay? I don't like that he's screaming at a guy who's trying his hardest and he just happens to miss a kick. And then he's pointing to the other kicker that he's going to go to him. And now this is a very public humiliation for BT Potter that he misses one kick that he's supposed to make, a chip shot. And now Dabo's announcing that they have a new starting kicker. Now Dabo Swinney's publicly chiding this guy on the sideline. Hey, can anyone publicly chide Dabo Swinney for some of the calls that he made in the Clemson North Carolina game? How about as a head coach, him not realizing that Travis Etienne kept on being matched up against North Carolina's best linebacker, Surratt, rushing game after game, play after play after play? At some point, as the CEO of the team, you're supposed to recognize that, right? Can we besmirch you publicly, Dabo, for that? Is that okay? I mean, can we come at you? Because I don't think that screaming at your kicker, Lonzo, is particularly productive, if I'm honest with you. A guy who's clearly trying as hard as he can, who just might not be very good. Again, I can't scream at a kid playing T-ball and tell him he should be better than he is. Okay? Maybe BT Potter just isn't very good. You don't need to publicly fleece him, publicly shank him on the sidelines on national TV for everyone to see, and then come out immediately after that and say, we've got a new starting kicker now. That bum who missed from 27 yards will not be welcome in these parts. I've got a problem with that. I really have a problem with that. I think that's a poor look for Dabo Swinney, and I think there's a number of calls that have been made even this season where Dabo Swinney was at fault for not stepping in, and nobody did that to him. Nobody besmirched him publicly. Nobody pulled his pants down. Okay?
See,
nobody said to Dabo, let me ask you a question.
Really? You had to go there? That's what coaches do. I mean, so you want coaches to not be able to berate their players and do that's just been a part of coaching since the dawn of time.
I think you need to make a distinction between a guy trying his hardest and not succeeding and a guy making a dumb mental error.
It sounds like you're wanting it to be a little more PC, and that bothers me.
Lonzo, I don't care about PC. All right. You can yell at a receiver for dropping a pass. You know why? Because that's a mental error. Okay? A kicker trying his hardest to do that to him publicly, to even switch kickers after one missed kick in a game that, you know, in a game that had already been decided in an outcome that didn't even matter. It really browns my boxers, Lonzo. It really, really browns my boxers. And, you know, I believe that Dabo Swinney owes BT Potter an apology for that. I think that was very uncharacteristic of Dabo and a bad look for Dabo, if I'm honest. What do you guys think? 1-844-477-3776. 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number. The text line is there for you at 71307. Start your text with the word ESPN and away you go. Twitter, where our policy, man, the tweets are flying in today. Our policy is if you tweet the show and are following us, we will get to your tweets live on the air. At ESPN Upstate, at Lonzo on Word, at Mark Ryan on Air, and email markryan@espnupstates.com. I'm very excited to share with you some show news that I just got today. You know my policy. There's no such thing. There's no difference between an off-air conversation and an on-air conversation. I will share something with you about our show that even Lonzo does not know next. Right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Okay, wanted to share this with you because I'm very, very excited about it, and I owe all of you a debt of gratitude here. And very few people talk about this, and I was asking my boss why that is today. I was asking why that is today to my boss, and he said, well, you know, it's you don't want to spike the football, but you can share it. And so I now share with you something I'm incredibly proud of. Offsides with Mark Ryan, Lonzo, is in Greenville County the number two radio show, all formats, 1 to 4 p.m., men 25 to 54 in Greenville County. We have never been close to number two, all stations, all formats in this county. We now have a rating of greater than 5. Our show rating.
Okay, you got me with that.
Our show rating is greater than 5, men 25 to 54. And I am, when I heard this news, it made my day. It made me very excited. Greenville County is the county that we want to dominate. Okay. And it shows that people are gravitating towards our approach on Offsides, where you get both sides. You get the positive and negative on any team, on all teams. And it's something I'm incredibly proud of. More on this on the flip side.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.